that our worship led into this morning that Elaine read to us. We're covering a series at the moment about God's presence. Dave Hopwood started us off with living in God's presence, and Shirley was talking about in the presence is worship last week. This week's about in his presence is forgiveness. God is a God who forgives. Just close your eyes and take that in for a moment, because we just let it come off our lips so easily, don't we? God, our God, is a God who forgives. And above all, we must understand that God is gracious and compassionate. He didn't become gracious and compassionate post the birth of Jesus in 0 BC. Okay, I'll say that again. He didn't become gracious and compassionate post the birth of Jesus in 0 BC. We first find God's description of who he really is in Exodus 34. Exodus 34 is one of those key chapters in the Bible. It really introduces who God is. It's just one of those sort of pivotal points, you know, like John 3:16. It's just one of those markers in the Bible. In Exodus 34, Moses has climbed Mount Sinai with two stone tablets in his hand, and the Lord comes down in a cloud and stands there with Moses. But what God does is he proclaims his name as he passes in front of Moses. Until this point, God has not really said who he is. From Genesis up to this point, he's God Almighty, he's the one and only God, but he's not really introduced himself as who he really is. And God passes in front of Moses and he says these amazing words. Yahweh, Yahweh, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. The name of God is in those amazing verses. Yahweh. But in the Bible, names have significance. And Yahweh is the gracious and compassionate God. What you were called in the Bible is what you are, what you were. And it's great when we look at names, isn't it? And we sort of refer back. We named our daughter Jessica because Jessica actually means God is looking. And I think that's just a beautiful thing. I remember in Nepal actually preaching a sermon after, about Jessica and what that meant and, you know, how God is looking at us. But names were significant and Yahweh means God is gracious and compassionate. And the passage is this passage in Exodus 34, if we had enough time to go through, I'm going to sort of present a few of them to you. And I'm quoting a lot of scripture this morning, probably 80% of what I'm saying comes straight out of scripture. I'm not going to say where it's from because, again, that would take too long. But if you want to know where some of these passages are at the end, then please come to me and I can pass on my sermon notes to you by email or whatever. But this passage, Exodus 34, is the most often quoted passage within the Bible story. And it's these words that David quotes in Psalm 103. And you would expect, wouldn't you, that if this is God's description of himself, that it would be the most often quoted passage in Scripture because it says who God is. In his presence is forgiveness. In the book of Numbers, when the Israelites are rebelling against Moses and Aaron, Moses is praying to God and reminds him of his name, Yahweh. Moses reminds God, Yahweh is slow to anger, abounding in love and forgiving sin and rebellion. In accordance with your great love, forgive the sin of these people. And Micah, one of the prophets, says, who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. And Nehemiah, in the time of the exile, he says, you are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And when Jonah was called to go to Nineveh and the Ninevites repented, what was Jonah's gripe with God? Anybody remember? It's been a big clue up till now. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love. Jonah knew that if the Ninevites repented, that they would be saved. And Jonah didn't like that because he didn't like the Ninevites. But that's who God is. That's who God is. Not what he became post-Jesus. This is who God is. In his presence is forgiveness. This is who God is, full of grace and mercy. Do you remember John's description of Jesus, full of grace and truth? Well, that's God the Father's name as well. Full of grace and mercy. I was going to talk a little bit about what the Hebrew meaning of those words compassionate and is, but I won't go into that. I'll just move on. You want to see me afterwards? It's interesting looking at the Hebrew because it means so much more. Moses heard those words in Hebrew, not in English, believe it or not. And it has even greater significance, the words that are used in Hebrew. I mean, look it up online if you want, that those words, gracious and compassionate. So the Old Testament God is the New Testament God. I want you to get that deep down in your being, that God is not different in the Bible. The Old Testament God is the New Testament God. The New Testament God is the Old Testament God. God is Yahweh. God is gracious and compassionate. He is the same. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is eternally the same. Before Jesus came to earth, during Jesus' lifetime on earth, since Jesus until now and into the future, he is the compassionate and gracious God. Jesus came into the world to show us God's love in all its fullness, to reiterate to all mankind the message of Exodus 34. That's why Jesus, he came to die on the cross, but that's part of the story. But actually, he came to show us who God is. He came in bodily form, not just a voice as he did with Moses on Mount Sinai, but a living reality. Jesus himself said, I and the Father are one. We're not different. We are one. Paul says to the Colossian church, God was pleased to have all the fullness of God dwell in him, that is Jesus, because he is God. And through him to reconcile to himself all things on earth or in heaven by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. We'll come back to the cross in a minute. During his ministry on earth, Jesus was full of grace and forgiveness. Jesus was gracious and compassionate. We know the stories, don't we? He ate with tax collectors. I mean, that was huge in first century. Absolutely huge. Jesus was a rabbi. rabbis were supposed to be the cleanest of clean, if you like, in the Jewish ritual. To eat with a tax collector was to make yourself unclean. But Jesus went to their homes and ate with them. Why did he do that? Because he was saying, you are worth eating with. He was saying to Levi and Zacchaeus, you are worth eating with. Jesus listened to them. He drew alongside them. He was gracious and compassionate. He touched those with leprosy. Again, for a rabbi to do that, that's the whole story about the Samaritan, is that actually the reason the Levi and the priest walked by on the other side is because, to all intents and purposes, they thought this man was dead, and to touch a dead body was unclean. But Jesus went alongside those with leprosy, those that were unclean, and not only went alongside them, but actually reached out and touched them. Huge. When he reached out to touch a dead body to raise it from the dead, he was doing exactly the same. He was touching the unclean. When the woman caught in adultery came to him, Jesus was gracious and compassionate. He had the right to throw a stone because he had not committed sin. He didn't have to walk away. He could have condemned her because he was pure and holy. But he said, I forgive you, but don't do it again. The Samaritan woman, the woman at the well. Again, Jesus should not have been with a woman, and certainly not a Samaritan woman. But he didn't worry about his reputation, because he was full of grace and compassion. And not only in what he did, but also in his teaching, Jesus was showing who God was. We know the story of the prodigal son. It's a sermon in itself. But what was Jesus doing in that story? He was not talking about the two sons. He was talking about his father. Having compassion on the son that had rebelled, the lost son. Because that was his father's nature. And he came to earth to show who father was. In the presence of Jesus is forgiveness. All those incidents I've just mentioned showed that to be in the presence of Jesus was to receive forgiveness. The good news of the gospel is forgiveness of sins. Everyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sins. But just look at this. In the presence of Jesus is forgiveness. We do not receive his forgiveness unless we come into his presence. It's not something that happens automatically. Those people that were touched by Jesus that I mentioned, they came into his presence and they received forgiveness. We don't preach a gospel where we say it's going to be all right in the end. Everyone's going to go and be with Jesus. We need to be in his presence to receive forgiveness. He will forgive everyone, but we have to believe and receive his presence into our lives for that forgiveness to be appropriated. It is forgiveness of sin which we require, and for that forgiveness to be available, sin had to be punished. God is merciful and full of grace, but also just. And what was God's justice for sin? I said we'd come back to the cross, didn't I? God's justice for sin was Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus died for our sins. Again, just close your eyes and take that in as well. Jesus died for our sins. I've got that "for" in bold in my print here, because that's what that means. Jesus died for us. is gracious and compassionate. For those of us who receive Jesus into our lives, confess our sin and repent, we have forgiveness. The psalm we had read to us this morning says how complete this forgiveness is. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. Isaiah says that though your sins be as scarlet, you will be whiter than snow. Only Jesus can turn scarlet sin into the white of freedom and holiness, a right relationship with God. Okay, so what does that mean for us who know and love Jesus and have his presence with us? It means that we should be people of forgiveness. In our presence, there should be forgiveness. In the presence of God is forgiveness. In the presence of Jesus is forgiveness. In our presence, those who know and love Jesus and have received him into our lives, there should be forgiveness. Paul says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive in the same way that the Lord forgave you. How did God forgive us? Completely. He let go of our sin. Well, actually, he took it on himself and then let go of it on the cross. Paul also says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. That's our calling as God's people, to be people of forgiveness. Jesus said, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. As well as the biblical mandate to forgive, there actually is a science behind forgiveness as well. When you don't forgive, you release all the chemicals of the stress response. But forgiveness elevates mood and increases optimism. Not forgiving correlates with depression, anxiety, and hostility. That's science, that's medicine speaking. I'll just say that again. When you don't forgive, you release all the chemicals of the stress response. But forgiveness elevates mood and increases optimism. Not forgiving correlates with depression, anxiety, and hostility. What does today's reading say? Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives our sins and heals your diseases, who delivers your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. I think that's basically saying what the science has proved. That if we receive forgiveness and we are forgiving people, he delivers your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Let's be crowned with love and compassion, not just to each other, but to those in the world. I just want to say, though, forgiveness is not condoning an offence. It's not pretending the offence never happened. It's not allowing others to take advantage. But it is letting go. That's actually the Greek root of forgiveness, is to let go, which I think is quite amazing as well. So let's let go of those things that would drag us into the pit, and let's take on the crown of compassion. Let's take on the presence of Jesus. If we've received Jesus into our lives, we should be expressing Jesus to those around us. God is the God who forgives. In his presence is forgiveness. In the presence of Jesus is forgiveness. In the presence of his people should be forgiveness. And we've seen what a difference that makes, haven't we? Some of us can probably take our minds back to Mr. Wilson at Enniskillen and the difference that made when he came on the news and said, I bear no grudge to the people that killed my daughter. I forgive them. And people actually think that those words prevented civil war. That's the impact that forgiveness can have in our lives, but in a community as well. So I just want us to apply this now. It's good for us to respond, and there will be a time of worship during communion and afterwards. And some of you need to know God has fully forgiven you. Perhaps you've not really taken on board the truth of what that means, that you are forgiven. He died for our sins, and you can know complete freedom from the guilt of any past sin. And that might be for you this morning that you've accepted Jesus, but you've just not entered into that. You've just not sort of let go of that. We read that amazing verse almost every communion service, and we may do that as we share communion later. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's God's promise to us. Some of you may need to ask Jesus into your life for the first time, to actually let the presence of Jesus come into your life. In the presence of Jesus is forgiveness. It's not something that happens automatically. We need to take Jesus into our lives and receive that forgiveness. And maybe you've not done that. Maybe you need to say to Jesus, come into my life. And it'd be great if you came forward to the ministry team, if that's what you want to do, and just express that, and they'll pray for you and release you into that. And then thirdly, some of us may need to forgive someone or to ask for forgiveness and to begin to live in that community that the New Testament asks us to do. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your name, the gracious and compassionate God. Thank you, God, that in your presence is forgiveness, total forgiveness. Our sins are not condoned, but they are forgotten as far as the east is from the west, and you remember them no more. Thank you, Father God. And thank you, Jesus, that you made this a reality for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you went to the cross, that you took the punishment for our sin. And Father, we want to say sorry now as your people for those grudges that we hold against people, for that unforgiveness in our heart. We just want to release that. We want to let it go. And ask you to come and be the presence in our lives, that we can be Jesus to other people. And we ask it in his name. Amen.